Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. This is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black.
And I'm Hottie Hot, Mr. Broussard, if you're feeling, Although we've come to the end of the road. Yes, you're ready. No, but because it's our final episode of the season, Liz, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I love that a song was a feeling.
But it's
We're super Black.
Right. Call and response. I hope y'all are ready.
That's it.
But yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I don't know. It feels like we've been podcasting for a longer time than just a year.
Yeah, it feels like we're really into this. And like, this is very generally a bittersweet moment because this is our last episode, right? And that's just the bitter part about it.
Yeah.
But it's been so sweet because I feel like we've learned so much. Like you just said, we feel like we've been in the podcast game. Like,
yes.
I can put somebody up on game right now.
Right.
And we've learned so much about ourselves. So we'd like to take a moment just to talk about what the major thing we've learned about ourselves in this process and the major thing we learned about the other person.
Yes. Should I go first? I'll start. So like, it's kind of funny because I feel like this has been transcending into work and like my aha moments also. So I think that one thing that I've learned about myself is I'd be hella pressed around like about people's perception of me. And I think that through podcasting, diving deep, right?
Yeah. Okay.
No, but I think that through podcasting, it's pulled out my like audacious spirit of just not really caring about what people think and just being who I truly am all the time. Mm-hmm. And really just as far as like the speech goes and like even thinking about for like the beginning, like how I didn't have a tagline until where I'm at now and like how in the beginning, how we used to script a lot to where now let's just talk about it.
So, okay. I know you're about to say what you learned about me, but now what I learned about you is that exact thing.
Oh!
Like I really wrote, I mean, these are just the rough points.
Wow.
I was going to be brief, you know, I was going to like summarize in my head, but like,
yes.
I was like, Jihad was very nervous when unscripted, but when it was something you were passionate about, like you were audacious in those moments and you would go on a rant, right?
Yes.
Like a rant that was like very valuable, like rant sometimes in a negative conversation. But my last point was like, there's balance and growth now.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You know, I can script this word for word, but okay, let me script this part word for word, you know, and then let me just make these bullet points, and now you can speak about that. So that's so.
Wow, we were.
Y'all don't
sync.
Know that we didn't actually discuss this with each other beforehand, but we're in sync, and like that was what he noticed he grew in, and I noticed that too. That's
scary, but also amazing at the same time.
That is scary.
Yeah, those guardrails are a beautiful, a blessing and a curse.
A blessing and a curse, absolutely.
But here we are.
Well, let me tell you what I learned about myself.
Please.
Maybe you're saying the same thing.
Right, I'm like, uh-oh.
So in terms of myself, the first really quick one is that I'm better when rested.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that's a wee thing.
Yeah.
But I'm much better, and if don't listen back to all the episodes, unless you haven't listened to them, but y'all let me know when you can tell that I haven't slept, right? Because it's a difference. It's like an uppity energy when I have rest.
That's real.
But my main point was that I'm really a genius.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Yes.
Like I have a lot of creative ideas that I don't think I would have been able to access, at least not as quickly, without this process. So many different things, like all the posts that y'all see, all the marketing, like I think of those ideas. I got an elementary education degree, right? But now I'm like, oh, well maybe I can get a master's in marketing.
You are annoying.
Why? That's what you said?
I kid you not. I literally, one thing I learned about my co-host is that she is a marketing and communications guru. Like y'all, it's one thing, and I think that this is what I really want people to know. It's like, it's one thing to see somebody just pick up a piece of tech and just learn it the way that you did in such a short period of time. And the thing is, just like you said, like you are a creative genius in the sense that this transcends to everything. It's not just marketing and communications for you. Like, you are able to literally pick up anything that you want to do and just learn in a couple of seconds. So I'm like, wow, that's not me. Like, I need to process it. I need to collaborate with someone on it. Yeah. I need to write and reflect on it. Like, there's just a lot of different pieces that are a part of my process. Whereas you are just like, nope, let's go. I'm ready.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. It's been a good run.
This is scary, but also amazing. Yeah. We got the same exact thing. Wow, but no, really. And also, I just want to say shout out to everybody who's been supporting. We'll probably say this a lot of times.
Right, today, we are going to say it a lot of times.
All the support is definitely very much appreciated.
Thank you.
As you all know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the winners of the 2020 election. This next segment will highlight the major keys that we are looking forward to about the state of education in our nation. With the change of the administration, we're excited about the following things. First and foremost, the Secretary of Education. As of now, we're hoping that the Biden-Harris administration is looking for somebody who actually has teaching experience. As you know, the past 4 years, we've had someone who did not have any teaching experience and who was a very controversial figure to put into the Secretary of Education role. We talk about this because there's a major importance of having someone who's had that classroom experience, because folks oftentimes forget the reality of what a classroom teacher even feels like. Secondly, we love the fact that the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, she is going to hopefully be an amazing advocate for changing the way that we see and we envision education. Dr. Biden wrote her dissertation on student retention at the community college, meeting students' needs. And if there's ever one thing that you heard me talk about throughout the season, it is that. My biggest philosophy being a special educator is we have to meet students where they are at. And the fact that Dr. Jill Biden wrote her dissertation on this kind of foreshadows, we hope, what types of funding, what types of knowledge, what types of priorities will be centered in investing in education. And Dr. Biden will be joining the White House with over 30 years of teaching experience, and she plans to continue to teach from the White House. And that just goes to show the amount of how agile educators are, right? Like, for her to be a First Lady and to be still teaching, and this was something that she also did when she was the Second Lady of the United States of America. So I also wanted to speak to that. So shout out to Dr. Joe Biden. It's going to be it's so exciting and so exhilarating to hear that we have someone who is an educator in the White House. Last but certainly not least, we need somebody who's going to be able to come into the White House and address this pandemic, and specifically federally for schools. I really hate the fact that there's been a lack of conversation around a plan for returning to schools at the federal level. And this plan needs to include funding. This plan needs to include testing. This plan needs to be a response plan for if somebody were to get sick and test positive for COVID. And additionally, we really need to talk about educators receiving that compensation that parents mentioned pre or at the beginning of the pandemic. So we're really happy to hear about this change of administration, but we really want to kind of double down and stamp the point that just because the administration is changing doesn't mean that we don't need to hold these people accountable. And I think that now more than ever, it just goes to show that accountability is something that we need to value. We need to not only show up to vote, but make sure that we're showing up to vote consistently in all elections, as well as writing our politicians when we're disagreeing with policies and procedures, and making sure that we're advocating and supporting all of what educators want.
There is a lot to expect in season two, because closing out season one is making way for a bigger and better and more intentional season, baby. I'm so excited because we really have so much in store for y'all. Our main source of feedback from the beginning was that we do not have an Instagram page. I'm like, okay, guys, we got it. And now we're actually going to get it. I think it's going to be super helpful for our growth and our platform. We hope that you'll follow and support. And most importantly, I get to make my personal page private again. We will also have a website. Yes, it's going to be the hub for everything Reformist Pipeline. So you can see things we've done in the past and what we have planned for the future. Merchandise is on the way. We know we have some avid listeners who are probably wondering how they can further support us. We've got the fix for that. Merchandise coming soon. And if you know anybody that we should probably collab with, let us know so we can add them to the list. And finally, we are asking for your blessings and taking all prayers as we have made it to the final round of a contest we've entered. And we're manifesting great things over here. So your love and support for that would be greatly appreciated. And we're looking forward to season two and hope you are as well.
So we're moving into our last concept development of season one. Really crazy to say right now. But, you know, this is the part of the episode where we drive and dive into the main topic.
Today, we are doing a recap of the entire season. So these are definitely some interesting and memorable moments. But like true educators, which is what we are actually using this time to acknowledge our growth over time and things that we've learned through this process, because we consider ourselves to be lifelong learners, and so should you. So this is basically going to be fun, but also like insightful, you know what I mean? Okay, great.
We would be remiss if we didn't begin our recap with a reflection on our first episode. So here we are.
The purpose of the reformist pipeline kind of stemmed from needing to close a gap between what teachers actually do and what people think teachers do. We want people to know that teachers are people too. Hello. We want to reach self-actualization just like anybody else in so many different ways. So our goal here is to empower you muggles. Just kidding. Just kidding. Non-educator folk to speak from a well-informed place when referencing educators or the American school system.
So it's so interesting because I did not really think that the amount of traction that we received, like, you know, we're global now. so I want to start with that. But I think that the message about us creating a pipeline of advocates is so essential, like now more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize like how timely it was for us to have been creating it. Mm-hmm. And I think that looking back, I think that we've grown so much, and not only just making sure that we have a platform, but that everybody feels as if they can connect to this platform. Like, I don't feel like we did an amazing job of actually making sure that regardless of what profession that you have, regardless of if you have a child in the education system or not, regardless of your teacher, whatever you make, wherever you may come from, this platform is for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the main reason as to why we created it. And it's still kind of resounded through all of the episodes that we created this season.
Absolutely. It's like, it's just nice when you have a purpose and like you never forgot it. Because it is very easy to get beside your purpose, right? We do a whole bunch of other things where we have purpose attached to it. But like, I never forgot my purpose with this, which means like it was truly supposed to happen. It was truly supposed to be this way. And the conversations I've like had the opportunity to have with people that I never would have had. Like, I wouldn't have talked to Leanne about education, but like she's an avid listener, right? And so we have these conversations and they come up. It's a couple people that like we wouldn't have had these conversations, but you see me working on it. So now you're interested. And like, that's really where it starts.
Yeah.
And speaking of where it started, we just come a long way with trying to get people to listen and sending individual text messages to people like at the very beginning. I'm not ashamed.
Not at
all. People was replying and people were listening.
It reminds me of, you know, like when you up and coming artist and you got to go hand out your mixtapes.
Yes. Like, we were handing out mixtapes. Okay. And then on top of that, like, y'all, I know we try to already introduce season two, but we've been recording from the computers. Like, we're about to have microphones and equipment. Like, we now know how to budget for the podcast. We came in this blind. Let's see, what else? Learning applications. Like, I don't know nothing about no Canva, y'all.
And now you're a Canva Marcom guru.
Okay. And I'm like, well, what can I do? What else can I do on Canva? Let's, you know, figure it out. And trying to operate Anchor. And when we just switched over to a new platform, you
Captivate.
Handled that.
Captivate. Well, you know, thanks to our people that we have in our circles, because that was something that we just couldn't do on our own. And knowing that, though, like knowing that there are people that are around us that probably can do more than we can in the amount of time that we have.
Yes.
And knowing, yes, being able to say, like, you know what, that's not in our scope. Like, we need to hand that off. And because, yep, that was something that coming in, it was, and Lynn knows, I was like, so we're going to pay somebody for this.
I mean, we're trying to pay everybody to do something.
Don't know where the money was going to come from, but
I didn't know either.
I was ready to pay for somebody.
Jihad
for something.
Is very much so the one that's willing to put money down on everything. And I'm like, well, how about we try it first? It's like, I can try it. Like, you know, I'll do it. Okay. And then some other like major things. I took my Instagram page from private to public. That was huge for me, y'all.
That was very huge for you.
Like, shout out to Clark. Shout out to my friend Clark. Clark's Lena on Instagram, because we were hiking, right? And this is when I had posted some rant about something. And people were like, dang, I can't repost it. Dang, I can't repost it. So I'm like, Clark, like, what should I do? And she has like double digit 10, 11K followers. So yeah, she's like, well, you know, if you really want your stuff to get out there, you got to like have it public. And right, I was like, we're literally walking down the mountain. And I'm like, okay, got to take that picture off. Got to take that picture. Oh, the ass. Oh, got to take that picture off. Okay. Like, it was like several pictures. And I was like, wow, I did it. Like, and I went public and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like,
it is.
But once we get this Reformist Pipeline page, y'all, it's going back private. Okay. Doing this
heads up, spoiler alert.
And then another major thing, when Hottie found a tagline.
Yeah, that was a process. And you know what, actually though, shout out to the Bridge Ed Collective, because that's
what happened.
They helped me.
They
and
did help you.
I brought it back to you. You're like, oh yeah, let's switch this around.
I was like,
oh wait, oh yeah, yeah, no, but I announced it live on the episode, huh?
Yep.
To you, because you're like, don't tell me.
I want to be surprised. Yeah. It was really good, though.
It was a process. Well, the next highlights are definitely going to come from our most listened to episode, the Black History Month experience.
Black history, I kept trying to tell them, Black history does not start with slavery. And exactly. And they were like, somebody was like, really? It doesn't? And I'm like, oh, that hurt my heart.
Right.
And sometimes I get mad because I'm like, y'all are so ignorant, right? But then I'm like, I was also ignorant. So who am I to be upset? And I'm not really upset with them. I'm just upset that like this hasn't been important enough that like my sixth grade students are telling me Black history started with slavery. That moment was really, even listening back to that, that moment was really like monumental in like checking myself and checking my thinking and checking my biases and not like shaming other Black people. Like, I want to affirm everybody's Blackness.
Yes.
But what I don't want to affirm is that our history started from slavery.
Right.
And it just goes to show how much more work we have to do as a collective to ensure that our younger generation and anybody who is absent of the knowledge that we are more than we were more than enslaved people. Right. Well, that's not where we started. Even though it is an important moment in our history, right, that still impacts us today. But I was just taken aback, truly.
And rightfully so. Like, and we'll get into this, I feel like, in the next little clip. But I think it's very important for us to know that this was a moment that was true and authentic.
Yes.
So I think like a lot of, even to my experience, because I do feel as if sometimes that's my perception of people, as opposed to like trying to think about like, well, why did you not have that access? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that we'll get into that why in the next clip. I didn't learn about Stokely Carmichael, I wanna say, until I got to either high school or college. And it's like, I wonder if like, had I been exposed, like how much more of a, I don't even wanna say a radical thinker, but I guess to a degree it is like, how much more creative would I have been, you know? Because it's just like a different perspective, but because you're taught about all of these white influential figures, but for so long when you don't know how to identify as them because you're not them, it's like, well, you're teaching me about this history that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we don't do well in these types of subjects. It's because like we're learning about shit that isn't us.
That's
not a part of us. And yet again, another clip that aged well. Like, I can't wait for the day that there are more schools where we're learning Black content about the Queen Nefertiti, about the Stokely Carmichaels, about all the Black women that paved the way, especially like looking at the history here in DC, like the Mary Jane Patterson or the George Bell or Like, there's just so many influential figures that are throughout our country, throughout our all the different systems that we don't get to learn about. Mm-hmm. And I want a radicalized curriculum about Black people, because Black people are amazing and we have been doing all of the great things, but we're just not given the same spotlight that white people are. Mm-hmm. And so I really do wish that a school is one day created that focuses just on Black folks and like how they paved the way for
it. Would be nice. Folks. It would absolutely be nice. I was actually having this conversation about what the schools think are like making things culturally relevant. Like, oh, we have books about Black people, but I'm like, yeah, but you're talking about colorism and how the dark skinned girl is trying to like bleach herself to be light skinned. And I'm like, yeah, but you're talking about this juvenile who's in jail because he killed somebody. It's like, y'all think that having the, like, there's so much more good.
Yes.
Like, you could
yes.
read a book about Stokely Carmichael.
Yes.
Like, you could read books about anybody doing positive things.
Absolutely.
But y'all think this is relatable. And it's like, it's not about what's relatable. I'm not saying that we don't need to read books about colorism. But what I'm saying is that, like, my girls already have experience with colorism. They don't really need to talk about it in this open space with a teacher that, I don't know what the teacher is or what those teachers, if the teacher might be white or the teacher might have some thoughts on colorism that they are projecting, like, but why can't we read, I don't know, Michelle Obama's memoir? Like, let's do that.
Yes.
Like, we need to give them exposure to images of Black people so that whatever type of Black person they choose to be, they feel affirmed in that. They don't have to repeat the cycle, but you keep giving them books to repeat a cycle.
And, you know, it's, I was listening to a podcast the other day, the author who, it was Marco Monthill and what's her name? Bettina Love. And the book is called We Want to Do More Than Survive, that she wrote, that she's the author of. And she spoke to this mindset of deficit-based thinking and how we teach educators to go into the classroom and focus on all these things about Black students, but we don't tell them the positive things about Black students.
Literally,
and so that's the issue, right? Like, why can we not change that? Why is that what we're pushing? And then we talk to them about all the Black students' deficits, and then we say, all right, but they're intelligent, so go teach them.
Right, and that's the thing. I think people are like afraid to be taught, like, when you make assumptions, it could be rooted in biases, right? And like,
exactly.
White people may not be, they really may, some white people really may not be able to figure out the positive in Black students because they don't have no experience with it.
Exactly.
But like, I can say like Black kids talk a lot and that might be offensive to some people, but I'm like, no. And I think that a responsive classroom should be loud anyway. I think that students should be talking more than children anyway. So let's hone in on that. There's some data to prove this. I could tell you that these little Black kids talk too damn much.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put it together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. Well, that was a highlight for the Black History Month experience. And we're going to move on into some general highlights that we've not endured. That sounds kind of crazy. But that we've had as we grew in this process. I think our first live we had was with Kicking It with Key,
yes.
One of our partners. That was exciting. I was lit. Had lots of champagne.
I was lit too, but that was such an amazing experience. Hey, using the type of a platform that I had never used before. I just started there, but just kind of like the real-time engagement and how we were able to, I'm trying to think, I think we were talking about what was like one of the biggest points from that episode.
Because I'm about to say, we were talking about everything.
We really were, everything under the sun. There was a lot of HU banter.
Yeah, when we started with mindfulness, right?
Did we?
Yeah. Yes, because Key's whole platform is about mindfulness. So we definitely, it may not have been the definition mindfulness,
yes,
what we
yes,
do,
yes,
but
yes.
The general idea.
I remember we were reflecting on something that happened that was powerful during that time, during that week for us. I remember that specifically. Mm-hmm. It was just an all-around like great
all
experience.
Around great time. And we wouldn't have had these experiences if we didn't have the platform. I noticed that, especially with my friend Short. Well, Bryce, I guess his name is Bryce. I call him Short. But he also had a live series and saw that I did that and saw one of the text messages I sent him.
Yes.
And wanted me to be on his live series. I'm like, okay, well, that's exposure. And that's like, he didn't have no other teacher on there. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, people are not asking teachers to be on there. And then you also had an opportunity.
Yeah, I got to send a shout out to Toshiba because literally she is an avid listener to our podcast. And she connected me to Darren Daly, who just started his own YouTube series. And that was how I became featured on that because Toshiba, a listener, was like, oh, Jihad, like y'all should connect. And here we are. And then it was a great conversation with other Black male educators who were, I want to say, like in Tennessee and New York and just different places. And so just having that type of dialogue with other people who are in the space was amazing, and doing their own thing. Like one was working on his PhD. I think he had just gotten it. And that's like, those types of spaces are needed. I don't think that people know that there aren't a lot of spaces for educators to convene and collaborate and to bounce ideas off of one another outside of just their schools. And that is something that we have to like fix that. And hopefully coming soon, working on that. It's just, that's something that kills me. And that's the reason why we don't have all the answers are present throughout our country. But we don't have the spaces to help pair the answers with one another.
Yes.
So that was something that was incredible. And I know that one of the other things that you did, Lance, was you were on the School of E's panel.
Yeah, that was amazing too. Like just to talk about like being able to have the opportunity to collaborate with other educators.
Exactly.
And these weren't, the panel was specifically about people that are in education that are doing things outside of teaching, right?
Yeah.
So mine was a podcast. We had the woman from Black Girls Teach. She has a very large following. There's another one, and shame on me for not remembering what it was, but there's a woman who lives in Oakland. She's from LA, but she talks about, like, her whole platform on Instagram is about making literacy culturally relevant, like making ELA culturally relevant.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, I have access. And there are several other people on there, but I'm like, I have access to all these people who are doing different things within the same avenue of education. I'm like, oh, well, this is for me, because and for me to tell other teachers, because teachers just be thinking, oh, all we can do is teach. But there's so many other things that we can do. And I wouldn't have been afforded that opportunity. Like literally somebody saw that I had a podcast, some coworker, and then she put me on to it. And mind you, it was a big thing. Like Ayanna Von Zant was our main speaker. Like, okay, it was a big deal.
Yes.
And then we had our own live.
Yes, we did.
We got all this information and collaborated and had our own live.
And that was a lot of fun too, especially given that we were in two different places. You're on the West Coast, I was here. I'm trying to think back. Oh yeah, because that, and it's so interesting to this year, it feels like a blur, and like it was the longest year of life also.
Yeah.
But like on that episode, just kind of talking about like what we needed to be mandated so that y'all could go back, or what would be feasible enough for a brick and mortar return to school, which was nothing, no type of funding was being allocated towards it. It was just so many problems and not enough solutions at that time. And so I just thought it was interesting how, and I'm going to continue to say this, and probably will be a recurring thing throughout our seasons to come, we got to pay educators more. And there
pay me my money.
Yes. And so like there was this talk at the beginning of the pandemic around paying educators more. And now that ceased to exist.
Turn up.
So shout out to all of the educators per usual.
And our next highlight is one of our special education mini series. Something that me and Hadi have talked about is like, we kind of mentioned it already, right? Having these conversations with people we wouldn't normally have these types of conversations with, or being able to include people on our platform that we wouldn't normally include, right? Mm. And so I just wanted to highlight my mom, okay?
Yes.
Because she was a guest on one of the last the ADD versus ADHD episode of the mini series. And we have a lot of fun. We have some playful banter, but I really enjoyed the fact that she was able to come on and she was talking about something controversial, because we also like to make sure we highlight those things as well. She's talking about medication and medicating students for ADD. So just hear what she had to say about it.
As Black parents, we really need to get more comfortable with medicating our children when necessary. I fought this diagnosis for my son for a long time. The teachers would express, their concerns, and I ignored them because my children were bused into an affluent white school district, and I felt like they were just singling out the only Black kid because, they didn't know how to deal with him or they didn't know how to teach him. But eventually when I took him to a very well-respected specialist in the area and got a diagnosis, then I had to face the truth that, he really did have a condition that we needed to address. And I was very hesitant to medicate him, but with the diagnosis, I did make the decision to medicate him.
Shout out to moms. Like, I really do. Like, it's incredible. I think that they love us to see, like, our parents kind of seeing us live our dreams, but also for us to, like, pour back into them and, like, get them to push them out of their comfort zone. Because I know that this is sometimes this is not.
Yeah, my mom's an introvert. Yeah. My mom's an introvert. That's not something you can, like, also. She's not, she's also doesn't really, she doesn't like public speaking. She's not really a big public speaker. She does it right, but it's something that she's had to work at. So I'm very proud of her. And you're saying something that like Black people don't want to hear.
Absolutely. And, and although it's unfortunate, I think that this is what we want, right? Like we need to be having conversations, y'all. Like communication is the biggest thing that is working against us and we don't do more of it. And if we did more of it, if we had more spaces to like have these conversations about not only just ADHD and like the special education type of process and systems, but we could collaborate. And then maybe one day, and this is far-fetched, but maybe one day it wouldn't even be seen as special education. Like if we were able to have the conversations around what does a typical type of like learning environment look like to where you're meeting all learners where they're at, as opposed to isolating different students. So I really do appreciate your mom talking about the medication topic because it's something that needs to be addressed. Okay.
Yeah. Whew. Sorry. That was a big one. That was a big one. And when we think about learning, right?
Yes.
And y'all know stuff happens you ain't got no control over. Hmm. I have an example. COVID. COVID-19.
Okay.
Yo, COVID-19 was the biggest pivot ever for us. We had an emergency episode. Like, we were not supposed to drop an episode. And we're about to play a clip from the episode. And then, you know, I'm just getting my feels.
Day 4 of quarantine.
Day 4. It's crazy because it's a mood that just about everybody understands.
Yeah, it really is. Like all the memes, it's just, it's been a lot. And I feel like for this to be the first time that we've ever experienced this, everyone is, well, from the people that I've checked in on, I know that people are kind of stir crazy, but it also has been a lot of like self-reflect. That a lot of people have been very self-reflective also.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So for this episode, this is actually our officially our first bonus episode.
Yes.
And we just know that there's a need and we have to fill the need right now. And we need to talk about the coronavirus because we know that so many people can relate and so many people understand what we're going through. But a lot of people don't know exactly what the education system in our nation right now is going through. Laughable as hell. Like, we talk about day 4 quarantine. What? Try day 400, okay? I'm not going to see, my, what? Yeah, everybody's been really reflective. Day 4, we thought people were reflective?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the word now? What is the word now? Because it's bigger than reflective.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Yeah, it, I know that we were even talking about the memes. The memes were hilarious back then, I must say. And I even think there was a point in which in that episode, Liz, I think I remember you saying something about how the principals were saying how we were going to, if coronavirus hits us, it was uncertain at that time if it was going to hit us.
If it hits us.
We were taking precautionary measures in March after, because it wasn't even certain that the virus is here yet. At that point, I think.
That it was here in the nation?
That it wasn't. Yeah, it was not here in the States, I don't think, at that point.
Like, hell it wasn't, but yeah.
My bad. It wasn't reported to us, but we knew that.
These mother. Okay.
Right. They were withholding information.
I just remember that. I remember that time, and I remember my anxiety was crazy.
But you were transitioning class or teach jobs, too. Like,
I was thinking about it.
You were thinking. So it was just a lot.
And I was like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Wow, the ghetto.
Yeah.
I mean, the ghetto's still here.
Absolutely.
But we just did not imagine. Like, we literally thought we were going to be out for 2 weeks. Oh, we're literally going to be out for a month. Oh, 2 more weeks. And I'm like, once it got to, like, a certain time, I was like, okay, school year's over. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. And so in this next clip, I think that we get into the seriousness about just kind of knowing information and knowing how to access information. And I think that this clip, it definitely did age well. So let's take a listen. Like, okay, like trying to remain calm.
Like what? because at the beginning of the day, I'm very transparent with my students, right? Yeah, right? So I was telling sixth grade already, we hadn't told the parents that we were going to be out for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. but I was telling my sixth grade class, I'm like, explain to them like, hey, we're probably going to be out for 2 weeks. They're like, okay, cool. I'm like, it's probably going to take away your spring break. They're like, oh, dang, but okay, cool. And then I have a calendar in my room. So they didn't really get it until right. I started taking, I have post-its that represent what every event we're about to do mm-hmm. during those weeks. And I'm taking off the post-its. They're like, oh, dang, we're not going to have that field trip. Oh, dang, we're not going to do this. And I'm like, y'all, this like could get real. And like, I don't want you to be scared. Like, I don't want you to have anxiety about it. So we watched like a couple videos throughout the week because I don't know the level of access to like, relevant and true information
right
my families are going to get. And then after you might get some on Instagram filtered through a parent
exactly
and then get it to a kid. Like I don't want y'all to be like super scared. And that for me, there's still an honorable moment in my head because I really tried my absolute best to explain what this meant to them and mm-hmm. I didn't even know. Like that's also what I want people to grasp is that teachers have 2.5 seconds to process information so that we can tell it to kids. So when people are like, teachers should do this, you ought to teach this. I didn't learn that in school. It's like, we don't have enough time to process current events, guys.
Yes.
Like, to make it make sense. Yes. And I wish that, I hope that they felt prepared. I know like lots of kids are ready to go back to school now. I hope that my kids feel like, you know, Ms. Black gave me the information, you know? And in thinking in hindsight, like, okay, I prepared y'all to deal with COVID, but I am blessed that I didn't have to prepare myself to have in-person conversations about the deaths of Black people.
Yeah.
I know we switched gears a little bit, but those are the types of pivots. Like we say we're lifelong learners. Those are the types of things that we've learned to pivot real quickly, right? But I would have had to figure out how to pivot that. And I'm like, I don't know.
And I think that just kind of stamping the point that you made about access to information, I think it just speaks to like why educators are so amazing, because like had you not made that decision to communicate and have the conversation with your students, how would they, I think it could have been even worse. Them processing, because this has been rough, processing this whole pandemic, dual pandemics at that. And at that point, let's be clear, the whole racial injustices that people murdering Black people, police officers murdering Black people, that wasn't even as being highlighted as it was to today. And so I think that it's just so important that we really like applaud educators and really look out for them, because the amount of seconds, like you said, that y'all have to respond to an issue. And this is just like one of the things that was kind of put on the forefront. Like there are other situations in which, bomb threats, like there are literal other types of situations or just like you said, like a kid coming into school and telling you, oh wow, like my dad was shot last night. Like these are things that you have to respond to. And so I just really hope that A, students are still okay, but B, more so I think that we need to prepare schools to welcome back these kids who have been through a very much traumatic school year. A very much traumatic kind of year in general. This year has been unprecedented as far as.
But who's preparing the teachers? That's all I'm saying, though. We always talk about let's prepare the kids, but but in the same breath, people are like, oh, well, you have to make sure your glass is full before you pour it into others. Okay, well, who's filling my glass? Because I don't need another mindfulness PD virtually. Like, I need you really, let's get down to the nitty gritty. So, yeah, we all need to be prepared, but it's like, the employers that have been out and need to go back, like everybody needs to be prepared. Like, I just want everybody to know that this is not it's not one set of groups, people's jobs. Children need to be prepared to deal with other children. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's a collective responsibility. I feel very strongly about that because lots of people are going to take that and misconstrue, which I know what you mean.
Absolutely.
But people are going to be like, yeah, teachers got to be ready to be trauma informed, blah, 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 blah. Yes, but everybody does. Like, if everybody experienced the trauma, it's actually like a blessing in disguise, right? Because when something like really egregious happens to one person, it's like, damn, I don't know how to relate. I don't know what to do. But now we all have some type of prior knowledge that we can access on how to approach people or how to be open to people or what types of conversations to have. Like, there is an awareness that we have and we have to tap into it and have collective accountability across the board when we think about entering back into the real world and what life's supposed to look like.
And I think that that's like the literally the perfect segue into our last little clip. And that is the importance of a call to action.
This episode, we are bringing our call to action to the forefront as we stand firmly behind this cause. Summer is coming to an end, and our federal government has still not created uniform criteria for reopening school buildings in a safe and healthy way for educators and students. The Reformist Pipeline recently launched a national petition which states our mandates for a safe reopening of schools. We are at a little over 600 signatures, and we need your support. So this week's call to action is for you to sign and share the petition. You can find the petition by going to change.org/protectoureducators.
And now to wrap up our amazing season finale, we want to talk to y'all about our call to action, one of the best and most key portions of our episode, and which is really trying to galvanize any type of support and whatever we did. And so like to this season, we talked about, we did an implicit bias test, which was amazing. We did this amazing petition, which was a national petition. And like we said, 600-800 signatures, which was amazing. And a tremendous type of like, it took a lot of work to do those call to actions. But I think that that's what we want this work to be about, is not just talking, but more so trying to get people to act in some way, shape, or form. And just like Linz was talking about on the kind of the last tidbit before we talked about access to information, if we all do our part, this work becomes a lot easier. The work cannot always fall on the backs of educators. This has to be a collective effort. It has to take the community. It has to take business owners. It has to take people working in corporate America. Literally, everybody has a stake in education. And I think that's kind of been the theme that I've wanted everybody to understand.
And I want to build on that, because if we talk about the community and like people being responsible, feeling responsible, right? Even if you're not an educator, the idea of the call to action came from your dad.
It did.
I feel like if I'm saying the story right, you were telling him about the podcast, and he was saying that there needs to be a call to action. There needs to be some action at the end. And we were like, I remember the day you brought it back. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And so already we started off on a great foot with someone who's not an educator, but believes that collective accountability and communication within people that are in education and non-educators, muggles, okay. those ties need to be made in order for change to be made. So it's just really cool to be in this space now.
It is another, or not another, but we're one season in and so many more to go.
Woo!
And now it's time for our call to action, y'all. We want your recommendations for season 2. We would not be anything without y'all's love and support. So we thought we'd drop our numbers so that y'all can send us a text. Psych.
So, yeah, right. You blow my stuff up. Right. But seriously, though, we've mentioned to y'all that starting this podcast was like a true journey for us. We are lifelong learners. Yes. So we want you to send us season 2 recommendations, suggestions, feedback by using that link in our bio. I mean, feel free to slide into our DMs. I have some friends that like send me text messages. You know, we have a formal email address.
Yes.
You have our permission to give us the feedback. What is it that you want to know? I feel like throughout this podcast and throughout quarantine, people have been more engaged in the education system and talking about it. But let us know what you don't know or what you want to inquire further about. And in the meantime, and in between time, between season 1 and season 2, go ahead and follow us on Instagram, our personal pages. You know that we are about to have a Reformist Pipeline Instagram that's coming out soon.
Yes.
TRP Advocates is still our Twitter handle. And we truly love y'all and your support. Let's keep it going. Let's make it even better. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening, especially if you're an avid listener. Thank you for running it from top to bottom. Thank you for telling people about the podcast. We really appreciate it. And make sure you're continuing to stand up for educators.
Yes. Peace, love, and light, y'all.
Hootie hoo!